All right, there we go. Well, good morning. Here we are, December 14th, marching right through the month. Jesus, the bread of life, and of course, next Sunday, 21st, is the Sunday before Christmas. Wow. And if you're planning or wanting to come to a Christmas Eve service, ours is at 6 o'clock on Wednesday night, and we will have candlelight singing at the end. And so plan on it, mark your calendars, you know, all that good stuff. What we have today is Jesus, the bread of life, and John chapter 6 is the primary chapter that we are looking at. And the teaching ministry of Jesus has always been a fascinating subject for people from all walks of life. That's quite interesting. People are interested in the gospel. In fact, I drove the ladies to the symphony last night. Of course, I didn't have a ticket. And so I went to Eaton Park, or Park and Eat. And the lady that was the waitress, you know, there was nobody there. I was the only one. I told them I would leave, and they said, well, we can't close until a certain time. So I sat there and had a coffee pot or two. And she sat down, and her child, it's like 10, 12 years old, is very interested in the Bible. I said, well, that's good. So we started talking, and she has a Bible that she's been reading with her child. And so it was interesting to sit and talk to her, and she had some questions and things that we talked around. And so this little phrase here that people... It's a fascinating subject for people about the life of Jesus. So, in the 19th century, characterize Jesus as more of a teaching philosophy than a miracle worker. So, it was in a time period in which the positive thinking and, I don't know if it was so much the stars and, you know, aligning and, you know, getting your mind in the right order. So people started looking at the teachings of Jesus along with some of these gurus or meditation people of the Eastern religions, and they were placing Jesus in that same category. But of course, Jesus is much more than just a good teacher. So his teachings cut to the middle of the grid of real life. So when Jesus is telling us, he's talking about right living, not just the right mindset. You need a right mindset to have a right living, but people would try to formulate a mindset that was going to be their mantra of how they were going to do things, and so they would adapt some of the teachings of Jesus and some of the teachings of Buddha, some of the teachings of the Hindus, and put them all together and have their mindset. And it didn't work. That's not what Jesus was about. So most often John tells about Jesus most often about his own identity, work, and mission in the world. So the identity of Christ: he is the Son of God. He is God made flesh and dwelt among us. So John, whenever he is writing his gospel here, he's writing it from a different slant than Matthew, Mark, and Luke. The Matthew, Mark, and Luke are considered the synoptic gospels. They have similar stories and similar events. John, however, has, I think, nine different stories, nine different events that Jesus taught that are different than the other gospels. And so he is teaching us about the divinity of Christ. He's talking about the miracles of Christ and how that Jesus would perform these miracles basically to get people's attention so that he would teach them. And we see in the lesson today that people were following him because they wanted to see the miracles. And I think I told you about we went to see Catherine Coleman in Pittsburgh with our friend from Maine, Northern Maine, and he came down especially to go to the Catherine Coleman service in Pittsburgh. And so we're standing at the door, and we were there early. You know, we're just a couple people back from the front. And so we're there, and of course, when the door is open, there's this big push, you know, to get in. And the lady in front of us, she turns around, she starts cursing at everybody, and says, "You'll see no miracles if you do this." You're not going to see any miracles after her rant of cursings at the people behind her. you know, so she wanted to see the miracles, and I don't know if she ever saw Jesus, but she wanted to see the miracles. So, well, John 6 then is part of the parcel of the whole gospel focus. Jesus unabashedly declares himself as the sustenance of humanity. You know, he is the bread of life. He is the life giver. So it's important for us to look at his teachings and read them to understand what he's trying to convey to us. And even in the miracles, he's wanting to get our attention so that he can teach us some an important truth. So in John chapter 6, verse 22, the other side. So the day following, when the people which stood at the other side. So what happens is Jesus has fed the 5,000, okay? And so he sends the disciples away. They go in the boat and they go to, you know, Capernaum. And when they go to Capernaum, Jesus goes and prays. Well, during the night, Jesus comes to them walking on water. And he gets in the boat and they're on the other side. Well, in the morning when the people go looking for Jesus, he's not there. So they don't, well, what are we going to do? We have to find Jesus. You know, we need some more free food. it was a handout. I didn't know this. We were up at the mall the other day, and there was the Pittsburgh Food Bank was there. I bet there was 1,000 cars lined up. Now, again, I don't know if they needed it or not. I was going to get in line. But there was at least 1,000 cars, row after row after row after row, and they would pull into these slots, and people would put one of each box in their trunk, and you know, again, it's, do they need it? I have no idea. You know, you've got to take care of. We used to do that at New Day. Sometimes you have to give to the people who don't need it to make sure you get the people who do. And so that's what I thought of there with all those cars and the handouts and the things that were going on. I'm sure there are some people there that really need this food. And they come once a month or twice a month. I don't know. So they bring in a tractor trailer load of boxes, and I have no idea what they're giving out, but everybody's lined up, and they have it running, you know, volunteers running, have everything well organized. So on the other side, the day following the feeding of the 5,000, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, so they looked around, there's no boats, save the one whereunto his disciples were entered, and Jesus went not with his disciples. So the disciples got in the boat, and they went to the other, to Capernaum, and there was no other boat, and Jesus wasn't there. So, but when his disciples were gone away alone, howbeit, verse 23, howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread after the Lord had given thanks. Okay, so that gets us know where they were from. And when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they came unto him, "Rabbi, when camest thou hither?" How did you get here, Jesus? It's like, you know, well, you left us over there. We were looking for more bread, and you left us hanging over there. So the teaching passage of Jesus is in the latter half of John 6. It stems from two tremendous miracles that occur in the first half of the sixth. First, Jesus miraculously feeds over 5,000 people with 12 baskets full left over. So that's the one feeding of the 5,000. And the fleeing the crowds who were, you know, they were hounding him for more. So they were going to, and I think that they were going to try and make Jesus king, you know. Wow, what a miracle. And here you got all these thousands of people, and they're gonna take Jesus and they're going to put him on the throne. Because if he can feed us, he's like Moses. You know, Moses fed the children of Israel in the wilderness, and Jesus tells them, well, it's not Moses, it's my Father. So the crowd asked, Rabbi, when did you get here? And he was not on the boat, and his disciples departed. They had no idea how he could have done this. So Jesus doesn't say anything about his walking on the water. Well, I walked on the water, that's how I got here. It's like, okay. What were you drinking after we left you? So the miracle of walking on water was only for his disciples and for those who were his closest followers. Then verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat the loaves and were filled. So Jesus comes right out and tells them, this is the only reason you're searching for me is because I fed you. You know, the miracle is like there's the miracle and there's the feeding of the feeding, giving them food. So what was impressive to them? They weren't hungry. They were not really overwhelmed with, wow, what a miracle. They were overwhelmed with, wow, I'm not hungry. And so that's when Jesus is, you know, basically telling them, you're missing the point. You've missed the point. You're supposed to be looking at the miracle and what I am doing and what I am teaching, rather than coming after me that you want to have lunch again today. Because you did eat the loaves and were filled, labor not for the meat that perishes. So Jesus is trying to, again, correct their thinking. Don't get all excited about laboring. And the labor here is maybe it has the idea of walking and finding, and, you know, the Sea of Galilee is not that big, but I'm trying to remember the statistics. But I get it mixed up. Maybe it's 13 miles around, it's very deep. It's a mile deep or half a mile deep, but it's around 13 miles around. And of course, they didn't get in their carts and wagons; they walked. And so he's telling them about labor not for that which perishes. So you're all excited about eating the bread and the fish. You're all excited about that, but you need to labor and work for that which doesn't perish, for the meat which endureth into everlasting life. So I'm here to talk to you about everlasting life, for I am the Son of Man. And the Son of Man is a divine title. It's a title that is associated with God, with Christ, and to point out his divinity. So, you know, you've got this declaration. Now, if the Pharisees were there, They'd have taken him and tried to stone him for saying the Son of Man. But the people who wanted fed, they didn't care that he said he's the Son of Man. They just wanted more food. The Son of Man shall give unto you for him that hath God the Father sealed. So in this, it's like, okay, here you are wanting to be fed, and you know, but I'm telling you, I am the Son of Man, and giveth, and the Father, Son of Man, shall give unto you life, and it, God the Father has sealed it and put it in place. Boom, there it is. The anchor to all this. And what happened to these people? Can you feed us again? We can go find some more loaves and fishes. So, verse 28. This is an important section. They're all important, but this has a lot of stuff in it. Then said they unto him, so this is a crowd talking to Jesus, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? So they got the idea that they were lazy and that they were just off on a trip tangent to get somebody to feed them. And so what are we going to do the works of God? And Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God. Now, the work of God, now if you think about, okay, what is the work of God? Shoveling snow. You know? It's snowing out and shoveling snow. The work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. So think about work. Work, I mean, it has a, I don't know what the original Greek is here, Aramaic, whenever it talks about work. Because whenever we think of work, we think of manual labor. But Jesus is saying that the work of God is that you believe on him that he has sent. So the work of God for you to do is to believe me because God sent me. That's your work. Okay. So I would never placed that type of emphasis on work, that you would do what God has done here and Christ has come, and this is the work to believe. Is there another translation of that, Terry? It's got me curious. Yeah, so the work is to believe. So it requires effort. Work is to believe. And they said unto him, what sign? Let's go back to work. Throughout John's gospel, belief is the key theme, and it is the key vocabulary word. The Greek word here is the verb form of faith. So belief, faith, have faith in, or put faith in. So whenever Jesus is saying your work is to put your faith in him and his word. That'd be a nice sermon sometime. Put your faith in me, that's your work. That's your sole purpose in life is to put your faith in me and what I'm going to do and what I have planned for you. So that's your work, your belief, your faith. Put faith in me. Have faith in me. Now, so what do these wonderful people who have just been fed, the 5,000 men plus women and children who have been fed loaves and fishes and have 12 basketfuls left over, and this was yesterday, and so Jesus tells them that they have to have work, they have to believe and faith in him, and they say, what sign? Can you give us a sign? If I were Jesus, I think I would have had a boulder fall out of heaven. You know? Who, Jesus wouldn't do that? I bet he would. No, he wouldn't. So, yeah. Imagine that. Pastor believes in boulders falling from heaven. So, he said, they said, show us a sign that we may believe. It's like, okay, 5,000 people fed, plus women and children, plus, leftovers, and plus I walked on water to get here, and you want to know, show us a sign. Oh, our fathers did eat manna, so here we go. Here's the analogy. They got fed yesterday. Now, we want Moses. We remember God doing this, or Moses doing this for our forefathers. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Okay. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven. I don't want to burst your bubble, people, but Moses didn't give that to you. My father did. Attributing unto man that which belongs to God. And that's what these people are doing. That's another definition or whatever, blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, is attributing unto man or unto Satan the things that God has done. It's like a deliberate blasphemy of God. And so this is, you know, this is a real, they've entered into a very gray area of saying, Moses did this for us, so we want you to do it for us. Then we can believe. So if we can get up every morning and eat manna and not have to work for it, you're the Messiah. So Moses did not give you bread from heaven. My Father give you the true bread from heaven. So the true bread from heaven, the bread of God in which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Jesus is drawing the analogy and drawing their attention to himself. I'm the bread of life, and I have come from heaven to give life, true bread, to the human race, to the people of God, to believe and to receive. So, again, he's trying to get them to move from their feed us today and show us a miracle because yesterday's gone. It's like, people we haven't changed in 2,000 years. If God does something yesterday, we want, well, can you do another one today? Then I'll believe. No. And so God is saying that, you know, look at this, which I've done for you yesterday, and you've made the analogy that 40 years bread came down from heaven, and Moses did it, and Jesus is saying, no, God, my Father did it, and I am the bread of heaven come down. And so what does the followers decide to do? Then said they unto him, Lord, even more, give us bread. You know? Okay, we believe you. Give us bread. Open up your storehouses. Yeah. I was wondering what we're going to eat today. No. She said, is it something how we're always concerned about food? Well, in those days, they had no grocery stores. And, they had to harvest it or grind it or fish for it or they had to go catch it if they were going to eat. And so they had a lot of variables in being able to eat. So, but even more, so whenever Jesus is telling them, I am the bread of life, he's giving them a divine revelation. My Father fed the children, the Israelites in the desert. I have come down from the Father. I am the bread of life. I am the bread for all mankind, as it were. And they said, can we have more bread? And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. So again, Jesus doesn't lose his patience with them. He just continues to redirect them. And that's, I think, really the mastery of Jesus. He's able to take people and what they're doing and saying, he's able to redirect them. And they're continually wanting more bread. And Jesus, I'm the bread. And I'm the bread of life. And you eat of this bread, you'll never go hungry. And they can't make the connection between eating bread yesterday with the 5,000 and believing in Jesus, which is their work. See, that I think, you know, be that they have to go and work to find their food to eat today. Their work is to believe in Jesus, who is the bread, and they can receive it freely and for the rest of life. And so they can't make that connection. Verse 36. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. You're looking at me and seeing the miracles that I've done and what I've performed for you, to get your attention to listen to what I have to say, okay? And he says, you've seen me. And what has happened from you seeing the things that I've done? You don't believe. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. So now he's narrowing it down that you, people who are you know, we would it talks about predestined. You know, this would be a good, well, those who were predestined to believe, they will come to me. Well, it's the will of God that all, none should perish, but all should come to repentance. And so Jesus is calling the people, and those who are in their heart open to what Jesus is saying will come to him. And he's telling them that the Father hath given me shall come, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. So God the Father, you know, to the Jewish people, to believe and to accept Jesus, they're in danger of getting kicked out of the synagogue. They're in danger of having all these problems and being shunned by families and all that. But Jesus is saying, you believe in me, I'll never leave you. You will in no wise get cast out. So I think we can start now. We can start now. Glenda's here. I told them I wasn't going to start until you came, Glenda. Oh, we love you. She's trying to hide back there around the corner. I like to tease her. Please don't ever get mad at me. we're about done. Anyhow, for I came down from heaven. So Jesus is telling them, you know, I came down from heaven. I'm the bread of life that has come from the Father. I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. So I'm here for a divine purpose. I'm here for a divine program. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing. So the people who have come, those who will come to believe in him, Jesus is saying, you're not going to be abandoned. You know, Paul talks about, you know, there's no orphans. You know, he's not going to abandon anyone. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So Jesus is, you know, okay, people, you want to have bread like yesterday from feeding the 5,000? Well, I'm trying to get your attention to believe that that bread is temporal and it's going to fade away, it's going to go away, and you want the bread of life. Well, you know, you want what Moses gave. Well, I am the bread of life. My Father was the bread that was given to the Israel in the 40 years in the wilderness. I am the bread of life that comes down from the Father, and all of those who work at believing in me will receive this bread of life, and that they will never be hungry, and I will not lose one of them. It's an interesting group, interesting section of Scripture. And next week, we finally get to Christmas. The Savior is born, Luke chapter 2. So that's next Sunday, the Sunday before Christmas. Are you ready, Glenda? She's been working hard on the program, and it'll be fine. So, Father, indeed, we are grateful. We thank you for how you bless us. We thank you for how your word, O Lord, speaks to our hearts and lives. We ask you to bless your word, to give us strength for each day. Let your spirit inspire and move us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.